kind of a flashback show to last year, because we don't have any new shows to talk about and report on. But it is important that we keep theater alive as best as we can. I think that's our obligation as a show, and I think it's our, the various companies in town are doing the best that they can to keep their companies going, keep energy going, keep actors and enthusiasts busy.
And we've actually been at the station amazingly busy for a place that is not producing any shows right now. So even though no live shows are going on, that doesn't mean that the prospective boards of the different theaters aren't really busy maybe figuring things out.
Well, and we 2 weeks ago we had the DLO from Danville come in, mm-hmm. or come on, I should say, via Zoom, and talk to us about how they're using this time. And they've got new space. They're like in massive work mode. Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the things that we're doing here in town is kind of maybe not work on the physical space, but a lot of work on the philosophical space, the organizational space, the intentions, the efforts. And we'll talk about that later in the show when we get into some of the actual events that have transpired in the past couple weeks, involving the town hall that the station was involved in with the other theater companies. But there is some actual show-related things to talk about, that different organizations in our community and in the surrounding communities are doing, acknowledging that there still are restraints because of COVID, some very serious restraints. Restraints so serious, in fact, that at the station, for instance, we're not even considering doing anything live and in person, definitely into 2021 and probably into the spring. But, and I think that the other companies in Champaign, Urbana, are all on the same page that way. But there are efforts to bring live theater to audiences that are happening, and we've got some interesting ones to talk about.
Right, and in town, the Illinois Theater did do an outside play recently. They did.
Why did
Desdemona
love them more?
Right. I can't read your writing. Yeah. So that's a Tennessee Williams, I don't even know if it was ever published. It was one of his early plays. So, and that was a very small cast. We didn't get a chance to see it. It was by invite only. And so...
Where was it done?
It was done at the COVID testing site near Krannert. So they used, there's already a tent set up. So that's what they used.
Wow. That is kind of like layering a meta irony to the whole...
Yeah.
Whole thing.
And that was directed by Tom Mitchell. And so I'm hoping maybe they'll do more things like that, the Illinois Theater on campus. And
is that Sunday Short Series? Is that related to the same group or is that a different group?
It's the same group, but I believe Latrell Bright and Lisa Dixon are running that, and that's over Zoom, I believe, from the event. I didn't get to make the first in the series, and I've been searching everywhere to see when their second one is. It sounds like it's going to be a monthly thing, and it's called Sunday Shorts, and it's a series of very short plays performed or read. And I think most of the playwrights are people of color.
Great. They did their first one on September 20th, I think it was. And so those were examples of two things I think we kind of found out about pretty much after the fact, which is Sunday Shorts and the invite-only Illinois Theater. But there are a couple other ones that are coming up that are being more kind of like actively advertised. They aren't in Champaign, but we have one over in Metamora and one in outside of Danville, Kickapoo, that are both opening up tomorrow. Now, these are going to be audience performances. We have a musical outside and a play inside.
The Metamora one is interesting to me because it's dinner theater. So, and it said that masks were required, but then it also said, I mean,
it did not say masks are required.
It did on the Facebook
event,
but then when you go to their website, it did not say masks.
It says masks are requested when you are moving to and from your table.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the performers aren't going to be masked. Looking at the photo of this kind of like a ballroom, so it's being done at a country club, and it's just curious to see what people think is safe and what people think can be done. And this is basically just the end of a ballroom. Like the dance floor is going to be the stage, and then there are going to be tables.
And it's cheaper by the dozen, so it's 19 people in the cast. I mean, not as big as when we went to Something Rotten Outside, but still, that's a big cast.
For the outdoor musical Something Rotten in Peoria, there was fence. You could tell there were marked off sections on the lawn, and they advertised pretty much how it was going to be. They even showed a video of how it was going to be. And I thought that was useful to know going in what we're getting into.
Right, because most of the time you don't get your money back. So if you get there, you can't say, wait, this isn't as safe as I thought it was going to be, and get your money back. So it's best to, if you have any questions, contact them ahead of time. And also maybe you can help, you know, make policy by asking questions.
Right.
So it did say on the Facebook event that masks were required, temps would be taken, and social distancing. And I don't know how they're going to take temperatures. So it's interesting. If anybody ends up going to that, please let us know. I'd like to hear how it goes.
Yeah.
And that's from October 1st through the 4th.
And again, that's at Metamora Fields Country Club, and it's being put on by Metamora Thespian Society. Don't know anything about them. But that's just on the side of Peoria, so it's about an hour and a half drive, and we will not be checking that one out.
No.
But it is, any time we get alerted to live theater, we're curious, because we know that ourselves and so many other actors, performers, companies are all wanting to know what can be done, how it can be done, and to observe others, learn from others, and promote things that deserve promotion. The other one, which is just down I-74 the other direction, is Evil Dead, the musical that's being put on by Dark Horse Theater, which is one of kind of the alternative theater groups in the Danville area. I don't know Evil Dead, the musical, but anytime there's gallons of blood and splash zones being talked about in the promotional materials, it sounds maybe not my kind of scene, but it probably is well suited for being outdoors in Kickapoo State Park.
And it's my understanding that this is not the first time they've done it outdoors at Kickapoo State Park, so this is not a change in venue. This is just something that they can do somewhat safely during COVID that they would do annually anyway.
Yeah, and I know that they, at least in my searching for what sort of protocol is going to be in place for seating and how that's going to work, all I saw was that there's going to be limited seating, so get your reservations ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's going to be like roped or painted off sections with blankets or bring your own chairs. I guess we can get some more information on that and post it if we find out anything.
Right, and if anybody goes, let us know. I'm on the fence about whether I'm going to try to get there or not.
That seems like the sort of thing that maybe, we talked very early on about the idea of there being some sort of a drive-in or drive-up theater.
Mm-hmm.
Either using an actual drive-in where there's already the built-in sort of wireless sound, or just using any sort of, I don't know, I guess it would have to be radio transmissions. But actually, even if you had a good enough speaker system, you could set up in a parking lot and still probably do kind of some sort of a drive-up theater.
Right. I mean, we should look into that, or someone should look into that. Also in Danville, at the Fisher Theater, I think this is going to be, there's a Poe and Company, Tales of the Macabre, Friends of the Fisher Theater, putting that on. So
when is that going to be?
That is going to be 10:30. So that's also 10:30, 10:31. Yeah. So that's coming up soon.
So the Fisher Theater just did some massive renovations last year. And I think back in the fall, you went and saw a show there.
I did. I saw Bright Star there. It's a really beautiful building, and it's huge. So it seems like someplace that if you could do indoor theater, socially distanced, safely, it seems like a good option of a place to do that.
Well, they've been running a lot of... So that's interesting that they're doing something that's a live read, because starting... I think it was last week, all the way through October, they're doing a big series of two or three a week films. Mm-hmm. And initially it seemed as though they were going to be in kind of the musical sort of theatrical vein. But now I think they're also embracing sort of the Halloween season with the shows at their selection. So you can go to the DLO Musical Theater Facebook page, has information on all of the different movies that are coming up. They've even got some very contemporary ones like Us and some other newer sort of horror genre films. I'm not sure how the actual movie theaters are doing distancing right now, but what the way that they're doing it at Fisher is, in addition to limiting the seating capacity, then they're saying masks until seated. I don't know why one couldn't continue to wear their mask while they're seated, but maybe that's concessions, etc. People are going to be eating and drinking.
Right. I'm surprised they're having concessions open, but it does look like they are. Just a side note, the Poe and Company Tales of the Macabre, that is an adult-only show. Please leave your children tucked safely at home. So that's interesting, too.
I didn't see the same thing for Evil Dead, but maybe that's...
Maybe it's implied. I don't know.
It might be implied when...
Is that all that's coming up? Do we have a couple other things?
Well, we know that in terms of longer out, we did find out that CU kind of community theater alumna, Maya Hammond, is going to be, she's in that theater program at Eastern Illinois, and she's been cast in Chekhov's The Seagull, which is going to be shown or performed online. I don't know if it's by Zoom or by, actually it looked like it was going to be by a YouTube Live, if that redirect link was at all correct.
Right. But we'll have Maya on next week, so we'll have more from her then.
Right. They are apparently in Zoom rehearsals now, and then this performance will be online on October 16th. And there's a subsequent, I think, in the next month, it looks like there will be another show, which we're trying to get some information on as well. Early in the remote learning sort of era, we were talking to educators about how they're doing their job with music teaching and instruction. And
I think it's been evolving. I know that I talk regularly to the music instructor at Holy Cross, and I know that she's kind of she's doing some really fun experimental things that they haven't done at Holy Cross before, and they can be COVID safe. But then as things progress, she kind of has to think outside the box. Teachers are really amazing right now and what they're having to do. So, you know, definitely appreciate all of them, but especially the art teachers and the special class teachers that are doing drama and music and stuff without any sort of understanding how to do it. You know, we're just kind of writing a new rule book. So
yeah. And speaking of, you used some interesting terms there, talking about getting outside of the box and writing a new rule book. And that's what I think the mission of to us and to the, as board members of one of the community theaters in town, and to all of us, is we need to rewrite the rules. We need a new playbook. We need to get outside of this box that we've been in, and that is the box of white-dominated, white-centric theater. And that is some first steps were taken, some good steps were taken this past week in the town hall, that you helped organize, that the Station Theater helped organize, between the various theater companies in town and the inviting community people that are interested in theater to contribute by survey to show up for this Zoom town hall, where we can talk about how, what concrete actions can be taken to increase the BIPOC involvement and
involvement ability. And also telling stories of people who normally their stories aren't told. I mean, there's just so much that we could have been doing and that we need to be doing. So we have some clips from the town hall, and so you'll hear Eric and Jackie and a little bit of me on what we said during that town hall meeting.
Yeah, so we brought in an actual moderator who had high quality skills of bringing out the issues, and we had breakout rooms. Anyway, I introduced it, laid some of the groundwork for what we were going to do and why we were going to do it. Jackie Lowenstein is also on the board of the Station Theater with Linda and myself, and we'll play my introduction, and then Jackie, station founder Rick Orr, and then Linda all added to
what the Station Theater said for their introduction to this town hall. We, like you said, there were surveys, and so the Station Theater addressed the first question. I don't know if Jackie mentioned what the first question was in her intro, but anyway, so we're taking what people have said and taking their feedback and saying what really struck us or we thought needed to be highlighted.
Okay, this is the town hall on anti-racism. Welcome to the Champaign-Urbana Theater Community's Town Hall on Anti-Racism. I'm Eric Schacht, actor, host of the theater-centric radio show See You at the Show, and board member at the Station Theater. See You at the Show was born about a year and a half ago with the idea that there should be some sort of centralized source of information and theatrical collaboration about and between the various theater companies in Champaign-Urbana, which for community theater is the Station, Twin City Theater Company, Parkland College, and Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, CUTC. This town hall has emerged from the same concept because there is a particular urgency now for collaboration and coordination and unity to address some fundamental institutional and historical shortcomings in society at large that are mirrored in the voices, visions, and representations that bring performance art to the stage in our community. To those who say that CU Theater is diverse and progressive, you are wrong. Over the past 10 years, the companies mentioned above, and that are mostly represented here today, have produced over 200 shows. Yet there have been just 6 that have been written by Black playwrights. Statistics about directors, producers, board members, and actors reveal something similar to that same 2-3% figure. But today is not about apologizing, explaining, rationalizing, or justifying. It's about acknowledging, listening, hearing, collaborating, and ironically for us theater people, acting. There must be action behind the words, intentions, mission statements, and platitudes. Black lives matter. Black stories matter. Black voices matter. That said, I will turn over the moderation of today's town hall to Rachel Storm.
I am Jackie Lowenstein. I know most of you, and I just have to say it's like so wonderful to see all of your faces and names, you know, just it's been a long time. So again, like the idea of this theater community, I'm here on behalf of Station, but as a lot of you know, I've been active with all the theaters in town in some capacity over the past decade. So I feel like I'm really invested in this community and in this continued coming together to work on these really, really important problems and issues in our community. So as one of the organizers of this event, I also want to note that Brian Morgan from Parkland wanted to come. He's a bit out of town and not accessible to Wi-Fi. So he just wanted to let us know that. And so I am responding primarily to the first question on the survey, which is somewhat what Rachel was just talking about, but what have been the obstacles and barriers to our theater community better reflecting the rich diversity of our broader community. And the things that stayed with me or really struck me strongly in reading the surveys was, I think, the overarching feeling that our history of being open and welcoming to people from all backgrounds is not enough. And as open and welcome as we are, and we're all like wonderful, loving people who want to expand our worlds and do better, it's not the same as taking action, as Eric said earlier. So I think that's kind of the umbrella that maybe has just really hit some of us over the past couple months with the, you know, post George Floyd. So these things that came up in the survey, which Rachel already reviewed, so I'll just like tag a few things. A lot of you commented on our lack of outreach and lack of knowledge of how to reach out. So, you know, those are kind of two parts of the same thing: how to reach out to underrepresented communities, and also a lack of curiosity about alternate types of programming that would engage our wider community. And sorry, was I just blocking my microphone for a sec? Okay. And so those are two big things to me, you know, and realizing that our normal ways of doing things is like, we're gonna rehearse for 6 weeks, 4 nights a week, and then we're gonna perform for, depending on what company, you know, 3 weeks for 5 nights a week or some, you know, some version of that. It's a luxury to be able to do that. And a lot of us here have had that luxury sometimes, and we love it so much that we make room for this in our lives, but it's become really clear to me that getting more curious and exploring more other ways to involve the wider community that will be less time consuming, but still have a high payoff and baby steps towards getting involved. Other things that struck me, again, lack of connections and a past lack of genuine interest in really doing the work to build the relationships. So I feel like that's where we've been, and those are the major things. There are a few comments that some people wrote that I just want to read to quote because I thought they were insightful and well written. So one comment is, there's little incentive for BIPOC folks to attend our show or show much interest in the type of theater we do. Live theater typically is not perceived as a friendly place for the Black community either. There's little evidence in our outward-facing brand that says that we produce work that contains Black voices or that represents Black experience. And I think that was geared towards Station, but I think it's fairly universal. So yeah, and what we produce typically doesn't contain Black voices or represent Black experience or any other diverse groups. And, you know, I can speak briefly to the challenges I know personally of selecting plays, and as I have directed and had the opportunity to read plays and think about what I might want to direct, I am 100% guilty of shying away from shows that require specific races and ethnicities, especially if it's more than one or two characters, for exactly the reasons we're talking about. And, you know, yes, I am regretful that that's been the case. And I know a lot of us feel the same way. And yet all of this work that we're about to do is going to hopefully help shape that and feel like we'll have more than one or two choices for an actor to play a certain role in this whole town. There have to be more, right? We just haven't found them. And I think that's a cycle that needs to be broken. And the last comment that I'll quote here is also from one of the surveys. We took for granted our appeal so much that we didn't let ourselves understand how hard it is for people of color to put themselves in the spaces of the white people, especially meaning white institutions. And what did we ever do to make ourselves not only artistically attractive to BIPOC people, but say safe for them? Not much. In order to do better and be worthwhile allies, we need to actively seek the answers to these questions and be painfully forthright and fearless in our answers. So that's where we are today. You know, so I think I feel very strongly as a board member at Station right now that we have a board that is like 1,000% committed to pursuing these questions and starting this journey, you know, with all of you hopefully on board, and let this be the first step. So thank you for being here. And Rick, I don't know if you want to at least say hi, let us hear your voice for a second, chime in or add anything.
Jackie, well said, and appreciate everything that you noted about us and the company and what we're striving to do for the future, and very well said, thank you.
Just one thing, as a board member of the Station Theater, I just want to reiterate that this is a first step, and that we as a board really are going to make sure that what we learn from these meetings, that we're held accountable, that we actually do action items, that it's not just like a feel-good thing that we all got together and we discussed it, but we don't actually go forward and do something. We're going to do something. This is a first step. We're going to take action. So that's my personal commitment, and I know that our board is where we need to be, and we're ready.
So after Station Theater went, then we also had segments from Twin City Theater Company, where John Tilford and Diane Pritchard spoke, Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, CUTC, President Joe Murphy spoke, and then Brian Morgan also spoke from Parkland College. And the unifying theme and the reason that we were all collaborating in this is that we weren't there to debate whether or not there is a problem. There is a problem. And that felt good about this gathering of the leaders of the different theaters, to have that universal acknowledgement made. This isn't kind of an all theaters matter moment. This is a Black Theater Matters, and it has not happened. As the statistics that I mentioned early on, going back, and you can go back beyond 10 years, but I went back 10 years, and we've got 6 shows out of almost 250 that were written, authored by a Black playwright. And that is something that needs to change.
Right. And we had already scheduled a second kind of follow-up conversation, and we'll have subsequent conversations too. But the one coming up is a BIPOC conversation, again hosted by the Station Theater, available over Zoom. And it's Sunday, October 11th at 4 until 6 p.m. And there's going to be a panel that includes Maddie Childress, Tina Childress. I know Maddie's been on the show before. And Laura Christine, who's also been on the show before. Nicole Anderson Cobb, Abby Harris, Cedric Jones, Misty Martin, and Prince Robertson. All wonderful artists in town that have been involved in the theater community, and it'll be a good chance for the panelists to talk and for white people to listen.
Yeah, and I think that with this initial panel, it was pretty much an all-white group, in fact, but I think that is what we're dealing with. That is the present. That is the pretty much the boards. It pretty much is the directors. It pretty much is the artistic choosers in this community are all white people. And so we need to, and so that was a good moment for us to affirm our commitments to change. And now it's time to shut up and listen.
And I think for me, I felt like that initial town hall was setting the stage that we are all at this one starting point, that we are saying we are going forward and we are going to do better. We're not gonna give excuses, and we're not gonna, you know, say that we did our best or anything like that. We're realizing there's an issue, there's a problem, we're going to address it. So it was a hopeful meeting for me, but I'm really excited about the October 11th event. And again, we'll have that on our website.
Yeah, so we are, see you at the show. We're going to continue to, not going to continue, we're going to do better as well. And so we will do our best to involve people of color to take our mic sometimes and give us their perspectives, and to work on influencing the local theater evolution as best as we can.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the Weft Courier for Thursday. Join us for the Weft Courier every weekday for Democracy Now! At 4 p.m., followed by two additional